Psalm 2, and our text today is the verse 8. Last Sunday I referred to this verse, Psalm 2, verse 8, this text that has to do with the prayer life of our Savior, the prayers of our Lord Jesus. Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." You may be asking the question, why pray? Why should we as Christians get on our knees and earnestly call upon God? Because God is sovereign. God rules over everything. And if you believe that God is sovereign, then you will be a praying Christian. Do you thank God for your food? Well, you're recognizing that your food comes from God, ultimately. You have the health and the strength and the wherewithal to find employment, and therefore to get rewarded for the work you do, that you may purchase the groceries that you put on your table. And all of that is the providence of God at work in your life. Do you thank God for your conversion, that you are now a born-again Christian, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus? If you are thanking God for your conversion, then you are also recognizing that God is the author of your conversion. He is the one that has saved you. He is the one that has given you the very desire to be saved. He gave you the repentance to turn from the world, and he gave you the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus, because God is sovereign. Then the question now comes, do you pray for the conversion of others? Family members, neighbors, friends, missionaries, and their work, and those to whom they minister. Do you pray for the nations of the world that they be converted? If you do, you are acknowledging on your knees that God is absolutely sovereign over the hearts of all men, women and boys, boys and girls in this world. In this Psalm 2, it is a chapter showing us that God is working to a plan. And you'll notice that it is a reference to a decree in the verse 7. I want you to look at Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. Decree? What's that? This psalm is made up of a number of different speakers. In verses 1 through 5, it refers to the heathen raging, the rebels of this world who fly against God and who will not submit to his authority. And you have in verse 2, the kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord Jehovah and against his anointed, the Lord Jesus, saying, "Let us break their bands." And so you have men in their defiance, in their rebellion, going against God. But in verse 6, you have God, Jehovah, appointing his king. Those kings of the earth in their rebellion will not bow the knee. But here now is God's king. And of course, verse 6, it is King Jesus. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And then verse 7, he talks about the decree. Decree here is simply God's plan, God's purpose, God's covenant of grace for all those who are reformed, for all those who understand the scheme of the gospel from Genesis to Revelation as God's one eternal purpose. It is revealed through Abel, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, right through to the Gospels, the book of Acts, right on to the book of Revelation. God has one decree, the saving of a people under the headship of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this verse 8, where the Father says to the Son, "Ask of me." And that's where we get to the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus was to ask, to pray to the Father. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for my possession. God the Father, referred to here as Jehovah, asserts his plan. He appointed his Son to be the mediator of the plan. He is the firstborn, the right-hand man of God. He is the ambassador. He is the head. He is the redeemer, the savior of his people. And it tells us here in verse 7, "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he is begotten? Well, it refers to his resurrection, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, where God hath raised up his Son and appointed him to be head of the church to all things. And he is now exalted in glory and set as the head of the church. Now in verse 8, the Son is given a spiritual kingdom or a dominion. They are referred to as the heathen for thine inheritance. The word heathen here can be also translated nations. It is not a derogatory term to talk about something that you're a heathen. It's not meant in the term of a heathen dog. It is referring to people of other nations. In fact, it would refer to Gentiles. Gentiles. To the Jewish mind, the heathen were the Gentiles. The people who were not born in of the line of Abraham into the Jewish economy or the Israelite nation, they were looked upon as the heathen, the people of other countries, nations. And the Lord Jesus is told here to ask of the Father for the heathen or the nations of the world for thine inheritance. And so the Lord Jesus was to pray for souls. He was to pray for lost souls. Souls of diverse backgrounds, peoples of all tongues, creeds and colors, and many souls. This is no small church we're talking about here. This is the multitudes that would be gathered in as a part of that kingdom. And so the Father's reward of a Son's work is to be claimed by prayer. Ask of me, and I will give thee. And here we have the sovereignty of God over all the peoples of the world, and yet he is accomplishing his purpose by prayer. Some people have difficulty with those two things. God is absolutely sovereign, and yet he demands or requires that I get on my knees and pray for God to work out his perfect will, not only in my life, but in the lives of the nations of the world. But this is God's divine arrangement, and we see this through the Bible over and over. Men were to build altars, call upon the name of the Lord, and as in many such texts, call unto me and I will answer thee and deliver thee. And so this is biblical doctrine. This is a truth that every one of us must face. God is sovereign. He's going to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he calls upon us to pray. You and me to be on our knees regularly, constantly engaged in real, earnest prayer for God to fulfill his plan. Now, we're not going to pray that God will change his plan. We're not asking God to do something differently than he has already put into practice or into purpose. He has already set the decree, and this salvation that is all of God from A to Z, I have a responsibility to ask of the Father. Now, the great example of this is that the Lord Jesus, this was a psalm written in the days of David, 1,000 years before Christ was born. The Lord Jesus did engage in earnest prayer. If you turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17, you will see here how our Lord Jesus actually prayed. We're not told Jesus prayed. We are given the words he prayed. And how in this chapter 17, the Lord Jesus really fulfilled that command, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. In the 17th chapter of John, what is sometimes referred to as our Lord's high priestly prayer, you have the petitions, the actual words that the Lord Jesus prays. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Can you see now that you have two entities, the Father and the Son? The Son is pleading with the Father. And he says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Now all of this is in full agreement with God's plan, because God appointed his Son to this work. And thou hast given him power over all flesh. God gave to the Son power or authority over all flesh, over all living things, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And so here is now the Lord Jesus engaging in prayer to his Father on the very same terms as Psalm 2:8. And he's praying, glorify the Son. You have given me power over all flesh. Now, Lord, it's time. And in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, that's going to be very important when we talk about begotten Son. When was our Lord Jesus begotten? We're going to answer that a little later. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. What is God's plan? God's eternal decree or plan is to save a people out of the world. God never decreed to save all men universally. God never purposed that every single person ever born of Adam would be one day in heaven. When God sent his Son to the cross to die for sinners, he sent his Son to die for a particular people whom God had chosen to eternal life. These are the people in view when the Lord Jesus is praying in John chapter 17. If we go down to verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And we could go down this chapter 17 and note how the Lord Jesus continued to pray. He prayed according to God's plan, God's program. He prayed for the actual people whom the Father had given to his Son. And here he is now asking, praying for his inheritance. The heathen, the people, the Gentiles of this world, that they would be gathered in. Now, the prayer life of the Lord Jesus is marked by prayer every juncture along the way. When he was choosing his disciples, he spent a night in prayer. Before he went to the cross, he spent Gethsemane much in prayer, pleading with his Father. And so, while God is absolutely sovereign, and while he will carry out his eternal purpose, and there will be a people brought out of the world into glory, we're to pray. It does not negate prayer. the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, punctuated by earnest petitions, asking the Father for the people that he had given him, shows us that it is the responsibility of God's people to pray. The Lord said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And so here is this baton passed on to us. Not only is the Lord Jesus to ask, but we are to ask. And if we do not ask, we will have not. We will not receive the very benefits and blessings God has in store for us. So prayer and the sovereignty of God in salvation go together. When God is going to gather in his people, he sets his church a praying, as he did at Pentecost. Before there was the conversion of 3,000 people, there was the 10-day prayer meeting in the upper room. That's God's way. That's God's order. We want to see today how God's sovereignty in man's salvation and prayer go together. Firstly, God holds all blessings in his authority. God is sovereign and will have his creatures to ask for his mercies. We have a great example of this in the request of Queen Esther. In the book of Esther, chapter 5, you have the queen going into the king and the king saying to her, "Ask whatever you will up to half the kingdom." Up to half the kingdom. Now, kings were known for their might, their worth, their riches, their magnanimity, by the wonderful gifts that they would give to their special friends and others. And so when Queen Esther was given this, he said to her, "Ask what you will up to half the kingdom." Now, such a statement, such an invitation to ask, exalted the king. It brought honor to the king. And likewise, when God the Father says to his Son, "Ask," God's glorifying his name. And when he says to you and me, "Ask," God's getting the glory. We are attributing every benefit and every blessing from his great goodness and out of his wonderful resources. Herod offered the same to Herodias, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And you know how she asked a very ridiculous request, the head of John the Baptist in a basket. And even though it was not something that Herod wanted to do, because he had made his vow, he made his statement, his promise, Herodias got her request, and John lost his head. And so we have this example in the Bible of asking, honoring the very statements and the very promises of the king. John Newton wrote this in his hymn, "Come My Soul, Thy Suit Prepare." Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. And so as God says to us, ask, we are bringing honor and glory to the God of heaven. Now think of the greatness of this request that God gave to his Son here in Psalm 2:8. "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the nations of the world." Now these are the darkest souls who are blinded by their false religions, their false thinking, their cultures, and their pagan ways. And as I said, the church is not to be white only. Unfortunately, in the history of European church life, the idea of missionaries going to people of other cultures, colors, was strange. And when men like William Carey pleaded with Mission Board, "Send me to India," many thought it was absolutely futile. But the will of God is that this gospel should be heard by all men, and that there will be an elect gathered in from all nations and peoples. I remember being in Singapore, and I heard, not this generation, the people in Singapore today are sort of, many of them are second, third generation Christians, but many Chinese, the word was, when missionaries came to China, "What took you so long? When for hundreds of years, from the Protestant Reformation, the gospel was enjoyed in Europe, but in Asia, it was barely known." And so, we're to ask these great petitions. In the book of Revelation, we read, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations, tongues and kings." And the Lord Jesus said, "This gospel shall go into all the earth before the end of the world." And so it is the will of God. It is right for you and me to pray for the nations of the world. And I can think we can conclude this, that our prayers are far too small. Our prayer requests are much too small. And I wonder, are you even praying for one soul to be converted? Or two or three or more? Are you even asking earnestly with all your heart, pleading this promise, "Ask, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance"? And so we are to ask the Father in every detail. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so this is a great challenge to our own personal prayer life. Are you praying according to the will of God? Now, I don't read in the Bible that you can pray for a new Lincoln car or a Lamborghini car or for some mansion. God doesn't say that it's His will to give you that, but it is His will to pray for lost souls. It is absolutely, without a doubt, God's will that you pray for the unconverted in your family, neighborhood, in this church ministry, for those who come and know not our Lord Jesus, that they would be born of the Spirit, and around the world. This is God's will. And if we refuse to pray, what are we doing? We are actually dethroning God. We're saying there's no point in asking because God doesn't control all these things. If we really believe in the sovereignty of God, that He rules over the hearts of all men, that even those who shake their fist at God and rebel against Him, the heathen that rage against Him, God can change those rebellious hearts. He can turn man's wrath to praise Him. And He does that so often by converting and turning the heathen, the wicked, to the knowledge of the Savior. Sometimes we as parents, we complain that our little children, they are way too independent. You know, they're trying to write something or color in something on the page, and they just end up making a mess of it every time. But if you try to help, let me guide you. And you maybe take the hand and you try and help them make the figure, the character, the letter. And they say, no, I want to do this myself. I want to do it on my way. And so you just have to stand back and watch them make a mess. And children do have to learn. There are times they need help. Now we're the children of God today, and I wonder, is our Heavenly Father watching over and saying, "You've got your program, you've got your ways of building the church, you've got your ways of doing things, but I'm just standing back watching you make a mess of it. And you're not asking, you're not praying, you're not earnestly pleading as a church, as an individual, for the help, the inheritance that God promises. Ask, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." The next thing that I notice here is that God gives all spiritual blessing through Christ. All spiritual blessing comes to us through the Lord Jesus. If you look back here at verse 6, the Lord says, "I have set my king upon my holy hill." And then it says, "God raised him up from the dead. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, some people get confused with this whole thing about begotten, the begotten Son of God. Now, let's ask you a number of questions firstly. Could this begotten refer to the beginning of Jesus' existence? No, because he is the eternal Son of God. He never was created. He never was born in the sense that all natural sons of parents are born. There's a date of their birthday. Our Lord Jesus never had a birthday in eternity in his divine nature. He took a human nature, but he was always God in the Spirit. And as long as God existed in eternity past, the Lord Jesus existed in eternity past. So this statement, this day have I begotten thee, what does it refer to? Well, I've already committed myself and said this applies to the resurrection. My proof text is Acts 13 and verse 38. The book of Acts, chapter 13 and the verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Where am I at here? 33. I'm sorry. God hath fulfilled the name unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. Now, he's just said he's raised him up. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. It's the resurrection that this refers to. And our Lord Jesus was begotten from the dead. In other words, he laid in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then God the Father raised him from the dead. He brought him back to life. And he raised him, exalted him at the Father's right hand. Where is the Lord Jesus now? At God's right hand. And every spiritual blessing comes from the right hand of God through his Son, whom he has raised up and appointed as head of the church, to whom every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And the only way to be blessed spiritually is by your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to reach the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no spiritual blessing but by prayer through Jesus' name. And as the Lord Jesus said, ye have heretofore asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive of my Father. And so we are to be a praying people, and we're to continually ask through the name of our Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus is our Joseph. When Joseph was made to be the prime minister in the land of Egypt, and he had all those barns of grain, and the people were hungry in the famine, what did Pharaoh say? Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. And all the people that wanted food had to ask and bargain with Joseph. And if you want to be spiritually blessed, there's only one person you're to go to or through, and that is the Lord Jesus. You're to ask in his name. And you cannot pray to the Father in any other name. You're to use the name of his only Son. And so you must know your need to really pray, to really seek God. And this world, the greatest missionary, Paul the Apostle, he was a man of prayer. He prayed earnestly for the souls to whom he preached. You read of that in Acts 20, Romans 10, many places, and he pleaded with others to pray for his preaching, that the word of God would have free course, that he may have utterance to preach this gospel to those who do not know Christ. Paul depended on the power of prayer, and he took his cue from the Lord Jesus, and he realized that all blessing comes through the Son. And so as the Father said to the Son, ask of me, we are to go in Jesus' name and ask of our Father through that name and plead for all the blessings of the gospel. Now, are we doing that? Let's really be honest with one another and answer this question. Are we as a church, are we as individuals, really men and women of prayer? Do we do all things by prayer? We sow, we labor, we engineer, we plan, we have programs, we do outreach, we do all kinds of things in the name of the Lord. But do we do it by prayer? If we don't ask, if we don't do things with real earnest prayer, will there be any blessing? That's why it's been the conviction of every servant of God. The church goes forward on its knees. That's why it's been the conviction that we must pray much. And the history of the Lord's church is, as the church has gone forward by much prayer. You read the book of Acts, how every new advance of the church was with much prayer. And sometimes the church was driven to pray by persecution and by failure and by weakness and by defeat. And they came and they say, Lord, you know the situation. We're being shut up from preaching the gospel. And they pleaded with God. If you think of the prayer meeting when Peter was in prison, and when they met in John Mark's home, the church was praying. Prayer was made unto God for him. The church was driven to prayer. And sometimes, even today, the Lord will drive his people to pray. When everything else fails, when everything else flounders, we're driven to call upon God. And so we need to take this to heart, that all spiritual blessing comes through the Lord Jesus. Now you might say, preacher, tell me something I don't know. We do know this, and we know it so well, but we do not always put it into practice. All spiritual blessing comes through the Lord Jesus and through prayer in his name. My next main point is this, that the nations of the world are incapable of turning to God. Why do we ask for these nations? Because they are so lost, so darkened. Human nature is so depraved. I could ask here how many people believe in the total depravity of man. That he is from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, totally, absolutely unable, incapable of turning his life over to God. He will not. He is a part of these kings of the earth who set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And when missionaries go to other nations and tell them the gospel, what do they find? I don't want your gospel. And you may go to your neighbor and you may tell them, will you come and hear the way of God's salvation? They will say, I don't want to hear your way of salvation. That's why we need to pray. Ask. Because God alone is able to change the hearts of men and women and turn them unto himself. You see, we've got to realize that souls are held captivity in bondage by Satan, who rules the hearts and minds of men. Ever since the fall, every baby that's born into this world is born programmed for sin, programmed for darkness and lust and rebellion against the God of heaven. And unless God changes the heart, no man will ever turn to him. John 6:37, all they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But in the same context, he says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. No man can turn on his own desire, his own whim, unless there is the miracle of regeneration. Jesus said, you must be born again. But he also said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh. We need the Holy Spirit to do his work. And we as a church are absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to convert sinners, to bring those that are darkened to the light. And you and I know that we can get people in here and preach to them week after week after week, but we do not see them converted unless the Lord does it, unless the Lord changes hearts and opens their minds and brings them to faith in the Lord Jesus. That brings us to my next point. The church is incapable of converting a lost soul. We can build buildings. We can plan religious ceremonies and services, sacraments. We can organize church programs. We can preach the word. We can do all those things that are according that are called the means of grace, that it is the will of God. I'm not talking about extraneous, foolish programs. I'm talking about doing all the right things. God wants us to have a church building. He wants us to be a public witness. He wants us to meet here and honor His day and honor His word. He wants us to encourage our brothers and sisters. He wants us to worship Him. But if we're going to be God's means of reaching a lost world, we cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit at work. In Luke chapter 24, the Lord said to His disciples, "Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." In other words, don't start a thing. Don't even begin until you're equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit anointing you to that work. And then in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you see our great lack? Do you see the empty link in the chain here? We can have everything complete in all these other areas, but if we do not have the power and anointing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in great conviction, there'll never be conversions and turning to God. That's why they had that 10-day prayer meeting. That's why every church needs to be a praying church. That's why you need to be a praying Christian, a praying man, a praying woman. Can you really call yourselves a New Testament Christian unless you are a praying Christian? There is that lack if we are not set to praying. And so our burden for evangelism should send us a praying. Ask, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I'm glad today that God is sovereign. I'm glad today that God is in absolute control. I'm glad that God knows His elect in every part of the world. He knows them that are His, but He uses means to gather in His people. And He will build His church. But I want to be a part of the program. I want to be in on God's agenda. I want to be in the very center of His will. I want to be where He wants me to be. I want to be doing the exact thing He wants me to do. And one of those things, and the chief of those things, is to be asking, praying. If I feel there, I'm going to feel everywhere. I take my cue from the Lord Jesus. He did ask of the Father. He said He prayed not for the world, but for all those that the Father gave Him. Are you and I doing that? Are you and I praying that God will come and touch us and use us to be witnesses and that His word will be with power? I want to know, do you pray for the preaching of God's word in this church? I want to know, do you really, really pray? Now, praying for the minister is one thing. I thank you for your prayers. I'm encouraged by your prayers. How do you pray for me? Good health? I enjoy good health. I enjoy many, many blessings in life. The Lord is good to me. But the key thing we're focusing on here is that this ministry of His word would have free course. That it would be attended with the Holy Spirit using that word, taking the gospel to reach men and women to change their hearts and change their lives. That's the key thing here. It could be any other preacher that God may appoint and place in this pulpit. And if he's faithful to the book and preaching the gospel, you've got to pray in the same way for him. Why? Because he's God's man with God's message, and you want that message to reach the hearts of men and women. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? This is our challenge, men and women. This is the thing that's going to make us or break us. This is the thing that's going to make us giants or wimps. This is the thing that God is going to use to honor us, or God is going to use to just set us aside. You didn't ask. Therefore, I'm not going to give you. Ask. and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. It sounds very simple. It is very simple. But for some reason, we find it hard to get a praying. I call you to earnest prayer, earnest pleading with God, and do not make the sovereignty of God your excuse and say, well, God's going to build his church anyway. I have no responsibility to pray. You do. You do. And God will only use praying vessels. Vessels that will give the glory to him. Because God is jealous. If we could accomplish things without calling on him and without prayer, he would not receive the glory. Man's program would receive the glory. Man's agenda, man's intelligence or personality, man would get the glory. But when we accomplish things by prayer, God gets the glory. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That's the very petition here. And you notice, this is far-reaching. I almost missed this, didn't I? And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, strictly in context, this is the Father speaking to the Lord Jesus. God the Father would give to his Son, who would go to the cross, die in the place of men, and of all parts of the world, the Father would call people to faith in his Son. That's the program, but it's based on prayer. And we are now to take up that torch of prayer and plead with God to fulfill this great work. A few weeks' time, I hope to speak on Hinduism, as I mentioned. You've got to realize that just south of our church here, across the highway, Fraser, or the number 10 highway, we have a... And I say this in love and kindness. I don't say this in a way that would offend, I trust. We have a little India developing. We have a whole community of East Indian people that we're neighbors to. There's a major four-lane highway in between, but we're still neighbors. And if we go out and outreach in this community, unless we are racist, we would say, well, don't go down there because, you know, they're just all of that persuasion. We don't want to go to them. No, God says go. God says go to them. I have emailed some of the people involved in Let the Bible Speak back in Northern Ireland. If they can get me some Hindi or Punjabi new beginnings. These were done for Nepal. I'm not absolutely sure what language it was, but it was for Nepal. That the new beginning was put into that language. And I'm hoping to get some. We have the great opportunity to reach people, and certainly the first generation, have never, ever heard the name of Jesus. Never had the Word of God in their own language. They've never had someone come to their door and say, can I explain to you the way of salvation? This is our opportunity. But you and I know too well it's going to be fraught with failure. Unless we ask and pray with all our hearts. We need a burden for these people. The reality is that if we're not praying for them, we're not burdened for them. We have no real passion for their souls. We don't really care whether they go to heaven or hell. Oh, we would stand up and defend the doctrine of hell. But do we really want to reach these souls that need to be delivered from hell? This is the gospel commission to the church of the Lord Jesus. And we can't opt out. This is our calling. This is our work. And this must be our burden. And so I give you this text. I give you this message today. Ask. 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 That's it. Doesn't sound very hard. But I fear that there will be people who won't do it. We need to do it. We need to do it with all our hearts. We need to do it in faith. We need to believe that God has a program. God is going to build his church. God is no failure. I'm working on the winning side. And if I do God's work, God's way, he will make me a part of his program. That's all I'm asking for. I want to be in on this great program to build the church of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help every one of us. Let's unite in prayer and pray today. Let's just seek the Lord earnestly in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the help that You've given as we've come to handle Your Word today. And Lord, truly this has been the Lord's leading in my own heart, Lord, to come to this verse. Oh God, I just thank You that You're speaking to us. I thank You, Lord, that You're not just holding us to tradition, but Lord, You're giving us a vision, giving us a burden for the lost souls of men. And Lord, there are so many of various nations of the world all around us that need this gospel. Oh Lord, may it please You to bring them in, send us to them, and make us a witness unto them. Oh Lord, hear from heaven, answer for us. Bless every heart united here today. I pray for any that's not saved, not converted. God, we ask for them. We ask that they will be converted. We pray that they will be born again. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come into their lives. We pray that they will be given faith in our Lord Jesus, repentance to turn away from their sin. Oh God, we ask with all our hearts that Thou will fulfill Thy perfect plan. Oh, hear us and help us. We pray in Jesus' precious name.